Chocula.
I'd like to welcome everybody to our Medina Township Trustees Special Meeting. The date is August 18th of 2022. The time is now 4:02. Could I please get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Eastwood?
Here.
Mr. Christopher?
Here.
Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you just take a moment of silence, think about our first responders, both here and abroad? All right. Welcome everybody to our early meeting. We're going to start off with approval of payroll. So I'm going to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to approve payroll. The check date is 8/19/22 for a total amount of $40,607.10 with total deductions, withholdings, and liabilities at $8,488.01. And we'll include these two pages as reference.
Second.
Here, a roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
I will move to adopt resolution number 0818-2022-052 to approve the appropriation status dated 8/18/2022 and incorporate this 14-page document by reference.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
So you had some questions that I didn't have time to get back to your email. Do you want to discuss that now? Because I do have some ideas, and I think being that we're all here, it might be, I know we can't really discuss things through email with like the three of you. So did you want to go over the questions you had and the ideas that I think would maybe help clarify how to move forward with this?
Yes and no. Yes, I do want to have a conversation, but we got a lot of stuff today to try to get through.
Okay.
I would like, you know, if it's okay with you, if you and I can do that, because I'm kind of involved with both groups that we're talking about.
Okay.
If that works.
Okay. Okay. I will tell you just for reference, the amount that you when we were talking about that one bill,
yep.
It's not going to be able to be quite as simple as what you suggested. We will have to tweak that a little bit. It's kind of a similar concept. And then when you asked about how department heads know what's outstanding on those, and you'll see that the balance in the encumbered line did go down because there were bills paid this month from that professional technical line that we were discussing. But usually, and I think Jenny can probably speak more to this, but I believe that when there's blankets open, a purchase order is pretty simple, you know, because it's going to one vendor. But when there's blankets open, I think, Jenny, don't you keep just a running balance on your blankets, or how do you?
Do
that. Okay, I mean, how do you track that?
You call me and say, we're getting low on this, and I say, let's put some money in.
Okay, well, so yeah, I mean, I have some ideas then, because I mean, that's what I did with, you know, Chief, or Nick reached out to Chief Minnick for me, but I mean, there's going to have to be a better way, because
I see that, and that's why I thought if we can talk and we can take it there, because there's money there to pay it, but we didn't appropriately get it to where we could pay it.
Correct.
And
yes.
So I just want to put something in, because it shouldn't be something we got to do every month.
Right,
no.
We know
that there's money that's going to have to come out of there, and we know that if X amount's going to come out for this thing, and he has, like, in essence, fire extinguishers have to come out of that same fund. At some point in time, that fund goes empty, and that's what you're trying to get us to look at. So
right.
we need to know what else might be coming out of that. What other items do you pay out of that?
Right. Number? So this is a two part. Just to let you know, this is two parts. It's not only do we have to watch when the fund is completely depleted, and there would be a reason to reallocate, you know, supplemental. but also when those blankets and purchase orders are depleted. And the reason I don't open blankets to the full amount is because you have to leave money there for, in the case of when the department head needs a purchase order requisition. So if I open blankets up to the full amount appropriated, then you don't have money for purchase orders to be open, you know. So it's kind of a balancing act, you know, that is quite walking a tightrope, basically. So in the case of this pedal sweep bill, the only thing that we will be able to do is that now purchase order. Auditors do not like to see these. They don't love them, especially when they're not an emergency.
We've already talked to them. We're not going to get in trouble by holding the payment up.
Okay.
Chief had a conversation.
Okay.
We said we had to work out some things here.
Okay.
So really all we need to do is get the appropriate way to encumber that money. Okay?
Okay.
So if we can put a $1,000 purchase order together for pedal sweep,
correct,
then that should buy us 2 months, maybe a third month.
But I'm talking about the bill that already came.
Right. But if we do a purchase order for pedal sweep, okay, is that a blanket I'm talking about?
You could do it either. But no, the problem is because that money was already spent before the blanket was in place.
Okay.
See, that's something when an auditor is going to come in, if that's one of the payments that they, you know, because they pick sample payments, and they are going to look at the date that purchase order was open, and they're going to look at the date of the invoice. So because this purchase order or blanket, they're all, you know, they're considered the same thing, but it's just if one goes to a specific vendor or not. But if that date is after the invoice was dated or the service was rendered, then that's a citation.
Okay.
So we have to deal with that bill separately from anything going forward. So that's just something we can discuss in future, but I want everyone to be aware and be on the same page of how this works.
Right.
Is this money you're talking about, is this coming off a line item that's under the police, or is this, okay.
Yes, because this was a police, this
okay,
was
no,
a police
I didn't,
purchase.
I just wondered
yes.
if it was something of the other money that we take and pay things from the ARP or whatever, and that, you know.
Oh, no, this is, no, this is
no,
always,
okay.
but yeah, this
I just
is
want to make sure that what we're talking
money,
about.
Yeah.
Sometimes when the dust settles and we can have that conversation sooner than later, I think that once you can convey that to me, I can share that with these guys and we'll have a better chance to maintain what we're looking at moving forward.
Okay. So everyone's on the same page and we know how to. I think it's very important that I think, you know, sooner than later, we should make sure that everybody does know how to read these reports that are given.
Yeah.
I believe if I don't know that people don't know what they're looking at, I can't help. You know, so I thought everybody did.
In our various previous meetings, sometimes, you know, we're talking about a dollar amount and a line item, but we don't know where necessarily you're paying them from. So I can go now to Nick, and he can show me on repetitive invoices, at least what they're pulling from, and we can kind of go that way. But I agree. We need to kind of know that.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right. Good. So at this time, we're looking for purchase orders and trainer requests. Anybody have?
I've got one. I move to approve purchase order from Dyna Township, purchase order requisition dated 8/18 of 2022. This is for the police department. The vendor is Western Reserve Psychological Association Incorporated. It's for psychological testing for the following officers: Matthew Ventura, Thomas Carlo, and Juana Clark, in the amount of $2,250.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Were these already performed, correct?
Yes. I just got the bill about 2 days ago.
This was approved, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was
so why are we
these
doing,
were all pre-approved.
Right, so why are we doing a purchase order now? I don't understand. I'm confused.
Was it a blanket or?
Yeah, I thought we had this done already. I'm sorry, I don't have.
That's what I was told to do.
By whom? I'm just very confused.
Well, if we don't need it, if it's already done, I think that we've kind of gotten in the spot where we're trying to get the funds processed through the system, and I think that what was thought was there's a blanket out there, so we needed to have a PO to put against that to write a check, but.
No, 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 that's not how that works. Yeah, I mean, we don't want to duplicate, you know, that things that look like, that can look like a case of fraud. Yeah, this was, I believe this was handled without my UAN system in front of me. I can't look this up, but again, this is not something, you cannot open a purchase order and/or blanket. To be clear, everything's considered a purchase order. It's just different types of purchase orders. You cannot open them after the fact, you know, and I'm 99% certain that we have taken care of this price.
A long time ago.
So if this has been pre-approved, then what's the process for paying the bill?
Just get the bill and sign off on it.
And sign off on the bill, write the blanket or purchase order number that was assigned to it on there.
Okay, so if we're going to take that motion off the.
Yeah, you'd need to revoke that motion, please.
I revoke the previous motion for the purchase order for the police.
Second.
And then go ahead and vote on that.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Thanks for the clarification.
Scratch it.
You can just watch.
Are there any others?
I don't have anything else.
Nothing? I don't have anything either. All right, we're going to move away from that and go on over to approval of account payables. I'd like to make a motion to approve account payables, date 8-5 of 2022, going to 8-19 of 2022. Digital checks 62-2022, going to 63-2022. And physical check 32320, going to 32347. For a total amount of $118,151.10, and we'll add this one page as reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
So there was, you'll see on there, there's a Voyager bill, and Chief Minnick, this will be particularly of interest to you because I know there's been problems with the Voyager cards. That the police officers have been having. I finally got an answer from Voyager on that. This is something that really needs to be addressed and handled because there's also a reimbursement to one of the officers who used his own personal car to pay for gas. The reason this is happening is because there's two officers this time around this cycle who are using the exact same mileage when they are putting in the odometer readings when they go to the pump. That is why it's being declined. One officer did it twice, one officer did it four times. So clearly it was something. I got the dates, I mean, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 2 days apart, then 5 days apart, and then another 5 days. So.
Say that again.
Okay, so when any employee who's using gas goes to the pump, they have to put their card number in, they have to put an odometer reading in.
How is that inputted? Is that digital or is that?
At the pump, like you, at that keypad at the pump, when they, you know, if they don't go into the gas station, they're putting that in right there. The readings that were inputted was exactly the same each time. So obviously the system is smart enough to know that can't be possible. So the card was declined. In one case of the officer who had the card declined four times, they did do a courtesy override on one of them, but on the other three, they did not.
Four times the same mileage?
Yes, on the 8th, the 10th, the 7th, the 8th, the 10th, and the 15th. 75,742 miles was inputted all four times. I can give you more information if you want, but so what this caused is this officer used his own card. You know, we don't get the tax credits. We don't get, and it caused, you know, I had to create a vendor. He became a vendor of the system. I had to cut a check for him. So this is just causing a lot of extra work.
$25 bill I saw there.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And really, it eliminates internal controls because this is an internal control. We can't. This can't happen. So I mean. The answer is very simple. The odometer readings have to be put in accurately. So I can give you more information if you'd like. But
do they keep a daily log with them, where in theory, when they use a card, like my guys at work, they write that down so that in theory, if the, let's just say there's a chance that something in the electronic world would get a Fritz and would duplicate, because it's that card, if it would remember the past mileage and not put the new one in, regardless of what he may be putting the keypad, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know if it'd be too much to ask them to do that.
They don't know. They don't. They just put in. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you after.
We can discuss more. Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I know officers sometimes switch vehicles, and there are things to, you know, to address here. Like, but
you
I discussed.
You would think you would just read the right there at the pump, because that's
what you would think. And there are things, like again, I covered everything when I had this conversation. So there are, you know, there are ways that, you know.
Is it at the Circle K?
Oh, it's at all different gas stations.
Okay.
And I have all that information. Okay. So, but yeah, but that's, and quite frankly, I didn't go back. I mean, I only dealt with this month, but this very well could be why those, this might not have been the chips ever.
Why the gas got expensive.
Well, why they never got, you know, when we were having these, the way people were saying the chips were being declined, I have a feeling this was the issue all along. So we really need to get that, you know, handled. And then I know I sent an email to everybody about that HSA, you know, payment that was made. Did you all read it?
I read it. I mean, I thought that was a done deal also, because we went over that.
And Chief Mick was assured that this officer had signed up for it.
He told me, yeah.
So
he said it was in his packet, and he was...
Well, okay, so just for future reference, nobody can sign up on paper for health insurance benefits. It has to be done through that form FHIR.
And that's going to be in our employee packages moving forward, correct?
I don't do employee packages.
I'm just saying, that's why we're having a discussion. It needs to be, because when I signed up for my HSA, I couldn't get it until I gave them my card. So that blows my mind that someone could get an HSA without actually being
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, because it is qualified money, and that's the thing. In order to have an HSA, you have to have a qualified plan.
Yeah.
And so what we essentially did was create a taxable event, because, you know, because what happened is, if you read that email with our rep said, like, because of the dates that the officers gave, and the one officer, she, because she's waiving coverage, it doesn't much matter, but the other officer, because of the date he gave, Medical Mutual didn't want to go back in retro, and then this is like, so basically this was a week of trying to jump through hoops to get this, because we have to get that July 1st day to not create a taxable event for the HSA money okay. that we gave. So, you know, I have to insist that from now on we make sure that plan is in place prior right. to giving any. And this is for all employees. It doesn't
right,
matter.
Right, for everybody.
Who we're talking about.
I think what Trustee Eastwood said, though, is a good thing. It's got to be in the package explaining it. So there's
no
question.
Make sure you sign up on form FHIR, because the
right.
paper copy is not going to.
I think that's a good idea.
But we and or whoever the appropriate trustees are at the time, because that'll be something that's going to go on, should have that as a checklist of things mm-hmm. prior to yeah. approving the HSA.
I think we've discussed this before, but I don't know that it's ever been addressed. Like who is in charge of the employment packets and the intake? I know, like, once it's handed off to me, I do, obviously, I put everything into payroll. Like, that's my part of it. But who does the actual, you know, like, the resumes and any applications and those? Do we have somebody who's actually...
Well, we have department heads who evaluate the applications. We end up following quite often that lead of the department head.
What the department head says.
I don't know.
The packets go, Nick puts those together.
Right, the admin puts
Nick
the
puts
packet
all
together.
And that I give my employees.
I would think that we ought to keep that in the admin for putting the package together, but we ought to make sure that there's a consistent information so that they know what we have to have.
Yeah.
That's right. Each.
So maybe we can, you know, sit down. Again, I know this yeah. meeting's got short, but sit down and, you know,
yep.
come on.
Oh, it's a good idea to have a 1 through 10 checkoff list, you know, and we can even just put that right in the thing. So we just put that in our notes to do, and, you know, and yeah. we'll just have
if
a little checkoff.
If I can make a suggestion, make one for full-time, part-time, and seasonal.
Agreed.
All that stuff going to be filled out by seasonal.
Agreed.
Employer,
it's all different.
Need it. Okay, so we can make 3 different ones. That would be very helpful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Great.
All right. We're going to go on to the establishment of the One Ohio Fund resolution. This is the establishment of a miscellaneous special revenue fund. So I will move to adopt resolution number 0818-2022-053 to establish fund 2904 as the miscellaneous special revenue fund.
Second.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was going to say on this one, I know that this is the One Ohio and that we were talking about getting, you know, they finally had some type of settlement and we're going to be getting money coming in, so we actually have to designate something for where the money to go to.
There's only certain places to spend it, but it has to do with that whole opioid scenario.
Yes, and this is the fund for, so when you reached out to the prosecutor's office, thank you, you know, part of Heidi, Ms. Carroll's information was correct. She just didn't have the other piece of it. So I had reached out to local government services. That's like the legal area of the state auditor's office. And they gave me the fund numbers to use. So I, you know, I called UAN and got that established. I can't establish the fund though until the board votes to do so. And Nick, just so you know, audit, this is something big that audit always looks at, as, you know, creation of new funds. So I don't know if you want to just start, you know, because they'll want to know the minutes, want to see the minutes when the fund was established. So, you know, just to keep it easier instead of having us, you know, go pour back through minutes. So now, that's why you don't see July being correct being done tonight, because I couldn't receive that money until we get this done. So.
All right, so can I get a roll call?
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right, real quick, we're into the department head comment section. So we'll start with Elaine.
Just have one thing. I'm going to get with Rob Tenwood at the CPC tomorrow to start updating the Medina Township zoning map. There's a lot of things that are kind of missing on it. Just needs updated. Been since I think 2002. So,
all right, and then
don't have a problem with me.
One thing I like you to do for me too is I ran into a thing of a resident asking me, what is everything that they would need to do that needs a permit? You know what I mean? I want to get a list of everything that you would do that technically requires a permit, because somebody was asking me about a fence, and then, you know, we got a front porch getting modified. So, I can just get that list personally, just because.
Yeah, it's on the website, but I can't get something together.
Yeah, I just figured I'd ask and go. Because, I mean, I know most of them, but some of them are obscure, so.
Okay.
All right.
It is on the website, right?
Okay. I could tell them to go there, but again, that was today, so I figured why I was talking to you. All right, is that it?
Yep, that is it.
Denny.
Okay, first thing, I got a phone call from a resident on Gateway. Requesting a no dumping sign. At their site, they have a entrance sign that says Windfall Heights, I believe it says. Somebody's dumping tomatoes back there, cantaloupe grinds, and they want us to put a no dumping sign.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like almost like a compost pile.
And the reason is there's another one down farther by the commercial end down there. There was grass and stuff dumped out of years and years and years ago. We put a sign up. So they seen that one and they want to put it the other.
All right.
Fine with that.
Or
yeah, I mean,
I'm okay with it as a service to the community. It.
I mean, it's a resident that's dumping it there. Obviously, it's somebody that's close by that don't care about the ants and the animals that are getting into flowers.
Where is this at?
Up on Gateway.
Good place
Gateway
for the bow hunters. So, I mean, I don't know, do we want to, because ultimately what it's going to take is we're going to have to spend some time and some money, right?
We're going to spend money on the sign, and spend time putting it up, and if somebody takes it down, they're going to want it up.
My question is, if we do this, does it all
Well, it just keeps expanding. Everybody wants something. I think that's where Denny's
going. Did you check to see how big of a problem it was over there, or is it just their word saying they, it could be a watermelon over there, and then
actually we're going to take the other one down.
Where was this at?
Windfall and Gateway.
It's up.
What if we would give them permission to put their own sign up?
Can't do that.
Well, no, I just asked because I had another resident complaining that there's tremendous trash in front of the house, and I went out and I took pictures of it, and to me it didn't look that bad, and the house is back 100 feet from the street, and so I happened to talk to the prosecutor's office today, and I said,
what do you think? Because they wanted me to go out and talk to this person. And the prosecutor's office said, here, here's pictures of things that are problems. And they showed it. And they said, you know, so I have to call them back and just say, the township can't get involved. They said they thought it was health, a health issue. I said, no, you have to call the health department. The township is not going to get involved in that.
Well, and obviously, as normal people, you would, throwing stuff in tree lawns or in the woods off the thing, it's common sense that you don't do it. So to put a sign everywhere to say, hey, you know, don't do it. But I would research it more than just...
Okay, which one are you talking about? His?
Well, with Denny's here, I mean, we just would say, we'll look into it and be at that, you know? And if it's just something small, I mean, we can't jump at every...
No.
Thing.
No, that's okay. What I'm
saying. I got somebody that throws a beer can in my yard every you know.
I mean, they're still going to dump there. They do it the other end.
Yeah. What they need to do is maybe have a police officer catch them and give them a littering ticket, you know, and see how that works.
Okay, so that's that. Next thing is I need to close Grande Boulevard and Tahoe Drive when I do concrete replacement. Grande Boulevard is right in the middle of the two driveways on Home Depot side, so people will still be able to go around into Home Depot's parking lot. That's technically the road up there.
Grande.
All right. Grande. Tahoe. So when I do concrete, I'll just put up my PR signs and let people know that it's going to be closed.
You need a motion for that?
Yes.
Need
a motion.
I'll make a motion. You want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to allow Danny to place the road close sign on Grande and Tahoe as needed during the repair of the concrete.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
And the last thing is, last night Angela and I had a conversation on the phone about payroll, and there's an issue with people punching in and out when they're not there. They're actually out, not at the service garage. While looking at the cameras, those people were at the shop when they were punched in. So I was on the phone with Angela for 27 minutes last night, and I'd like to know, do I get paid for that 27 minutes, or do I get paid the 2-hour minimum that I, like an emergency call in, or what do I get?
In past experience, we had to pay.
In past experience, I've taken phone calls for the last
well, no, I'm
years,
talking about other,
for free.
Yeah, no, other people have had opportunities where they talked to elected officials and we had to pay them out. So I think that you're eligible for a 2-hour minimum. You guys are welcome to comment on it.
My comment would be that, Denny, I emailed you at 4:45. You called me at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just not called you back.
Well, I got the email because I didn't want to hold payroll up for today.
There was nothing in that email that said payroll was going to be
held
up.
There wasn't, but you never know what's going to happen.
I asked you. I simply asked a question. So.
I mean, we got three people here, too. Well, you guys can say no.
I mean,
Denny, I'll attest. Denny talks to me all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I talk to my people all the time after hours, and I don't have requests for getting paid for it, you know, just because we don't work normal hours, you know, and so I...
Like I say, Chuck, before, I had no issues. I have no issues. I do. No. You wouldn't know how many hours I put in off the clock.
Yeah, well, I call you, too, so, I mean, but...
And you got to understand that. I'm up to here with it when it's... You know,
you feel like you're wasting your time.
I'm not wasting my time. It just...
Here's the bottom line.
I know I was right, and I was told I wasn't right. And
here's the bottom line. If I can summarize it, payroll was looked at and approved by the department head, and I approved it based on his approval.
Yep.
And in my opinion, that's where it should end, because we're giving that information to the fiscal officer, and according to what I see on everything I look at, you're not in trouble if you pay payroll that's been approved by the appropriate places. So if we come back and go back on a department head and questioning something, especially close to the time we have a payroll due, there have been payrolls missed in the past. They don't want to take a chance at having be a part of that. All I'm saying there is if payroll is approved and it's confirmed, and I appreciate you getting payroll done, by the way, very much. I mean, I know that wasn't easy. It's this week, so I don't want that to go unsaid, all right? But I think at the point where it's approved and it's confirmed, that payroll should be processed accordingly. If there's concerns about the other technology that you accessed, we can talk about that.
Which is exactly what I tried to do at 4:45.
But I mean, it was just the timing of everything. You know, 4:45 on the day before payroll.
It was a simple question asked.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you can't have it both ways. And Denny, you know, I know, we've talked to each other at all odd hours. You call me when you need something, if you need a purchase order, a blanket open quickly, and you've done that on Saturdays, Sundays.
I have no issue, but
now you're asking for it to be the other way because it doesn't suit you. And the conversation we had last night, you're misquoting. You are misquoting what I said, and I don't appreciate that.
How am I misquoting?
Denny, the text you sent me today saying I said something that I did not say, you misquoted me. It's 100% inaccurate what you're saying that I said. So that's not right. And then the way you spoke to me, the words you used, vulgarity you used, was not appropriate. So, listen, the board is free to do what they want, but if you're going to pay somebody 2 hours to curse the fiscal officer out because I asked a question,
You sat there and told me that they punched in on Hamilton Road?
No.
And Fenn Road.
My exact words then was, I said the satellite is showing that the punch-ins are coming from these places. That is what I said. I never said this is where they punched in. I said the satellite is showing.
And I told you there's no way because they was at the shop.
And then you know what I said? I said, okay, this is why I'm asking you these questions so I can take this to paycheck.
You said there's no way they was at the shop.
I actually never said there's no way. Denny, you're misquoting me.
Okay, move on. I'm wrong, I guess.
You are wrong. You are 100% wrong.
At the very
wrong.
Least, you agree to disagree.
Right. Well, I'm promising you, he's wrong. He's misquoting me, and I do not appreciate it.
My big thing is, one thing I want to say here, you're saying payroll. I think what we're really talking about is time cards. Payroll is what we approve up here. I mean, I'm just so it's...
Time cards are what we approve as well.
So, according to the Ohio auditor,
we're going to get into that conversation shortly.
No, it's very appropriate here that the employee sign off on it and the department head. That once they sign off on that, that is all the state of Ohio requires. Does not require the trustee to sign off on it. We've done it for years. I've talked to past trustees, but that doesn't mean that because we've done it for 30 years that it's right. So the employee department head signs off on it. That's good by the Ohio auditor.
Wait, that's just so you know, Bruce, I've had this conversation with Mike Lyons, and that's not what he said. And he actually told me that it is my responsibility once payroll is turned into me to verify its accuracy. So I think we're getting different information.
We're getting very different information, but if we're getting into a different league of stuff. This was specifically about department heads and department head reports. We're still in that category, correct?
Yeah, we're in department head report right now.
So let's add the discussion.
Real quick with this discussion, just my input on it. I mean, I appreciate the time. I mean, like I said, I've called Denny, I've called Nick, I've called Elaine, I've called Chrissy and everything else like that. I just don't want to set a precedence where when you're working for a township and trustees are full-time employees other places and we don't always have the 9-to-5 time to talk, I just don't want to set a precedence where I'm getting, you know, a bill for a 15-minute conversation or a 5-minute conversation. Usually my conversations aren't 20, 30 minutes or anything else like that, but and hopefully it doesn't happen where we have to set a precedence for this. You know, we're just trying to work this thing out. So just in due respect of everybody's time, I almost feel like that's just part of the township roles, you know, especially when it comes to talking with the elected officials, you know. So that's just my 2 cents on that. So are we done then with that part? For Denny?
What do we want to do?
Are we still talking about him putting time in?
I can make a motion to allow him to clock in time, and you're welcome to say no. But he brought it to the table, and I think that we as I don't disagree, and history says he has not done that, and he probably doesn't want to.
I don't want to.
So,
trust me.
I'm just saying, I'm gonna put it out there. You can say no, and we can move forward. I'm going to say that I'm going to make a motion that we allow him to charge 2 hours for his time conversation with elected official after hours.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
I don't think any more discussion is had. Call roll.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
No.
Mr. Christopher?
No.
Okay. That's the process. Thank you.
Chief Minnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We responded 42 alarm responses, 19 animal complaints, 55 suspicious activity, 24 welfare checks, and we performed 409 extra patrols, business checks, and vacation watches for township residents' businesses. There was a 30% increase in calls compared to July of 2021 last year. I also submitted Officer Cliff Nicholson nominated him to receive the VFW Public Servant Award, and I believe Trustee Eastwood, he was in my office when this all took place, and he'd like to...
If I might read this?
Sure.
From Chief Minnick. Dear Mr. Jacobs, as Chief of Police at Medina Township Police Department, it's my pleasure to submit Officer Cliff Nichols for the Distinguished Award. Officer Nichols has been a sworn member of the Medina Township Police Department going on 20 years. Officer Nichols has received numerous public safety awards during his tenure at Medina Township. Officer Nichols is a senior officer of the department, state certified field training officer, taser instructor, firearms instructor, and is currently an active member of the SWAT team. Every member of the department, including myself, rely on Officer Nicholson's tutelage. Officer Nicholson is one of the finest police officers I have ever had the pleasure to be associated with. His knowledge and compassion for law enforcement is a testament to every law enforcement officer should strive to emulate. Officer Nicholson has strong family values, ties to the community. Officer Nicholson will immediately drop whatever he is doing to help a fellow officer or citizen in a time of need. In closing, I've been a law professional for over 40 years, distinguished record. Officer Nicholson is earned my respect by constantly going above and beyond the call of duty to help anyone in a time of need. I would be remiss in my duties to not recommend such a fine officer. This is well deserved. So we obviously are appreciative of the nomination for officer. He was moved. And he also, just to be clear, is the last person who wants to be put up on a pedestal, but we can hope, and you know.
Well, I went over today, and they said that it's a over 90% chance he will receive it.
I'm encouraged.
I'm happy for him, and he's going to end up if he does, he'll get a the VFW will give him a $500 gift certificate for his charity of his choosing.
And time again, you try to give him accolades, and he simply says, I'm just doing my job. Come on.
All right, we good?
Okay. Yep.
Anything else?
No.
All right, Chief Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We responded to 28 calls last month. One of those was a structure fire, a kitchen fire on the Medina Road at one of the restaurants up there, Denny's. The fire just extended a bit outside the kitchen hood suppression system. It didn't do too much damage, but it did have the business closed for a couple of days, but it got cleaned up and checked off by the health department. And then lastly, we had six firefighters or firefighter candidates make it through our selection process. Five of those we ended up offering employment to. They'll be sworn in on Tuesday of next week, the 23rd.
Is that like the council meeting?
No, it's just the mayor will set aside special times for us. So we're doing it at noon at City Hall in the mayor's office.
Thank you. Anything else? All right, so that completes our department heads. So we're going to move over to old business. So since we have an executive session to discuss employee compensation, so I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss employee compensation with the three trustees and the fiscal officer.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
All right, the time is now 4:43. We are in executive session. Time is now 5:04, where the three trustees and fiscal officer have returned from executive session to discuss employee compensation, where no decisions were made. So to discuss what we were talking about back there, this is in the discussion of having Chrissy Moore move from a part-time employee to a full-time employee. We were just discussing our views, what our ideas were for her role, and trying to set up an idea, game plan for that.
I remember that, you know, we've been working with Chrissy for some time, and with her, you know, commitment to learning more and ability to learn more, I'm happy where she's at. I'm looking forward to where we can go with her. And I would like to see us offer her a 40-hour position, which would include the balance of full-time benefits.
You have anything, sir?
Just that I feel like Chrissy's improved a lot from a short time ago. She's working on doing the minutes and getting better at it and doing more things in the office. So that's an asset. That's what we need.
Well, if that's the case, I'll move forward here. Then I'd like to make a move to adopt resolution 08182022-054 to set Chrissy Moore as a full-time employee with a full-time anniversary date as August 28th of 2022. This will be an update to the resolution set at our organizational meeting on January 3rd of 2022. Full-time benefits start on the 28th, which is your full-time anniversary date, not including the medical benefits already in place. Schedule will be August 29th as the first day of being a 9-to-5 employee.
Second.
Any other discussion on that?
Looking forward to moving forward.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next on our agenda is the State Route 18 multi-use path discussion.
We've dabbled with this before, and they're asking me periodically about where we're standing, where we're at with it. And so I think we've all been given the agreement, and I would like to like your permission to respond to them directly regarding the item. We just named the items here. Item 3.1 says ODOT agrees to grant any necessary permits to the township to use and occupy the state highway right-of-way for purposes of maintaining the sidewalk and multi-use path. I want to change the word maintaining to general maintenance. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think we talked about these, so we were in complete agreement.
So I can go ahead and do all this and a flat-out no for item number 5.3?
Exactly.
And another flat-out no for item 6.1. And then the only other thing is, you want to go to Franklin County for any things. I'll get that changed to Medina County.
Yep.
I will submit that. You'll all have copies. And we'll see where they react to that.
What's the cost of that going to be? I mean, what's the estimated if we take that over?
What we're going to have is a maintenance cost. We don't really have one. The snow plow and the salting is going to be nominal, okay, compared to most things that we maintain community park-wise.
At this time, we do not have a salt sprayer that will drop salt straight down.
Right.
I was gonna say too, that's how wide is the path? Is the vehicle gonna be big enough to go on there? I mean, are we gonna have to purchase a vehicle to maintain that road?
I was talking to Montville. Montville had talked to me about saying they would provide, because they're all about doing their section. And he said, we would do yours for a nominal price. Now, I didn't get that in writing, okay? But there's three of us up here. You tell me, or, you know.
If anything that we can do to help, you know, again, I don't want to have to buy new equipment to maintain something like that, you know. I mean, obviously a salt spreader, we can always put guards on it to keep the salt to go straight down. But yeah, I mean, anything we can do to alleviate.
It spins the salt shovel. It spins it, so.
Yeah, it sprays it out, so they can't put side guards.
You need a special salt spreader to do a sidewalk.
And this is actually like a 6 or 8 foot wide path, I believe.
It's supposedly big enough for a truck.
Right. It's supposed to be big enough for a truck.
All right. So my blessing.
I don't need any formal motion for any of that, do I?
No.
It's just a matter of communication.
Yep.
And then they'll respond accordingly.
All right. So next on our thing is new business. We're going to trustee comments. So you're always good at starting that one off.
Well, we already talked about the public servant award, so I only have one other thing, and that was regarding the Rita Holt Park. I got in writing from our state ODOT individual that we can use the driveway that the county has for the access of their service unit for the water line. Prior to that, Nate Epic was not sure we had any access or way to get access. So now we have access to the park signed off by the state. Next thing will be talking to him about what that means and how we can get, because we lease that property to them. So we have to work within the realms of the Medina County Park District. But step one is done. We have access to it. That's it.
Doug, Bruce?
No, really, the police, Doug already read the nomination for Cliff Nicholson. The police continue to do a good job, very professional. And I think the only issue we have down there is what pops up with the payroll system. They're doing a good job.
All right. For me, we had our LST meeting this morning over at the Medina Hospital. There was our first one in person, at least for me, with the sense of COVID pandemic. So it was nice to see everybody in person and go over it. We analyzed 2021 versus 2022. Our runs were actually slightly down from where we were last year. Some non-transport calls, we were up just a nominal amount. I think it was 4 different calls. One of the big things that we were talking about, and it not necessarily has to do with our township, is people abusing the system with the 911 calls. The city, and especially Montville, has a couple individuals that they're calling 10 times a month. And so one of these things that we set at our previous meeting was at the 10 call mark that they would start incurring a charge, you know, and then we were talking about setting it like $120, today we finalized it at $240. It's basically set as a deterrent that you don't call 911 every time you need something. Like, you know, if you dropped, you know, something down the steps and you couldn't pick it up. I mean, these are literally calls, like, or help getting off of a lawnmower. I mean, so just in comparison, these are what they call non-transport calls. Montville went last year at this point from 84 to 164.
Oh, almost done.
And one individual was, I think the thing was like 38% of those or something. It's high, 40, almost 50% of those calls were that one individual. And so, you know, Chief Neal was there. And we have a couple people that are close. So what we set today is like when you get to like the 7 call mark, that you just get a friendly letter saying, hey, we
appreciate you calling us and your concerns or anything, but you're at the 7 mark. We just want to let you know at the 10 mark that you're going to start getting, you know, just a an extra charge. We're hoping that is a deterrent. Now that we've sent these letters out, we went from, I think, like, it was like 11 calls, 10 calls, 7 calls. The one individual has been down to 4 calls. So it is in the preliminary thing for a couple months that we've sent these letters out, the calls have dramatically dropped. So we're hoping that.
Who's sending those letters? Is it the hospital?
It is the hospital because, again, we're the ones paying for this.
Right.
So even though, you know, we were figuring out that the calls were maybe running like 500 a call, and we were talking about the 120, it's like who ends up paying for it? The township still ends up taking a hit. And that was where we were trying to not take as much of a hit on all these excessive calls. And so we raised it to 240. And of course, in realization, you know, if you don't, their collection rate is not super high on certain mm-hmm. things. So it's more of a deterrent than an actual money making thing. So that was the big topic of a conversation with the LST runs. And so I have noticed in the trend since I've been the rep there is that the township has been going down slightly over the last couple of years. Where we were very much higher than Montville. Now Montville is catching up with their calls, and I do think when somebody calls 30 times, you know, in 3 months, it does help them catch up. So that's why they're trying to do this. So that was our meeting for the thing. Oh, and we're getting another ambulance. They put an order in for an ambulance, and they did talk about the contribution of the three entities. I think it's been like at $120,000. They're looking to move that to $150,000 because the cost of ambulances and the supplies is astronomical right yeah. now, and so that's why they just weren't giving us a heads up. So, and that's all I have right now that I can think of. I know you always got questions on them.
On LST, their budget is I don't know if you look at it every when it comes with. In the bills every month, but I mean, there's some line items that I would love clarification on. You know, the $5,000 miscellaneous monthly is a little bit concerning to me. The bills have gone up,
yes.
you know, quite a bit.
Right. And
that's something with especially if the call volume is going down. It concerns me. You know, at some point we should sit down and just look at that. You know, and maybe we can circle, highlight, whatever.
Yeah, because one of the biggest increases, honestly, there's been 2 corrections in payroll, just in this, I think this year alone. So the pay to keep the people to work LST has gone up significantly. And then the other thing that we even discussed today, too, was the PRN part, where they're actually having to hire agencies, where they've actually had people who've worked for the hospital leave the hospital, go to an agency and then get assigned right back to their position, but at making 3 times the amount.
Yeah.
And that's something where I feel like at a higher level than us with insurance companies and everything
mm-hmm.
else is like, how do you correct that? Because who wouldn't want to work at the same job for 3 times the rate, you know? So that is another reason, you know, some of the prices have been going up is their payroll is exponentially up in the last, you know, 12 months.
Yeah, well, it's just something we'll have to keep in mind with, you know,
and I don't see those line items that you're seeing, so I would love to meet with you.
It's attached to each bill
right.
that comes in, the actual LST bills.
Right.
So we'll sit down, and I can show you what to look for, and then, you know, maybe just some questions to ask.
Yeah, our next meeting's in November, so that'd be fine.
Okay.
Do we have any idea why the number of calls have dropped?
To be honest with you, they were within 4 or 5 calls, so ours hasn't increased. You know, like I said, like the non-transport ones were up 4 from last year. So, I mean, they are pretty close. But,
curious.
Well, compared to, like, Montville is just steadily up, you know. And
yeah.
Another slide in here, too. I clicked off of it just now. But, you know, we were down, like, 1,800 in like the taxable things. And then Montville was up, like, 36,000 or something like that. I mean, it was something astronomical. So those are things that they're just trying to correct. So, all right. We're going to move over now to approval of previous minutes.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the following, the minutes for July 21st of 2022. It was a regular trustees meeting. In attendance were Mr. Johnson, Mr. Eastwood, and Mr. Christopher.
Second.
Any discussion on these? Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye. Thank you.
I'm still not used to one second. Move over to department reports for July. I'd like to make a motion to approve our department head reports for July of 2022. Police department has single-sided 4 pages. The zoning department has double-sided 6 pages. Service department has a single-sided 1 page. The fire has single-sided 2 pages for a total of 13 pages.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Next on our schedule was appointment of a zoning commissioner members. I'm going to just move more for a discussion since we did just recently have another applicant here. My goal is to just reach out to him. I've already talked to a couple of them already in regards to stuff, but this appointment would be to set the first alternate, the second alternate, and replace a recent passing of James Apana, who was a full-time member. And I do believe he was to 2026. So that's a long, you know, when it's
around 2022.
Right. So I want to make sure that we do our due diligence, talk to each of these, and you guys are free to do the same. And then at another trustees meeting, we'll discuss them. And
I just had a woman Wednesday at the ice cream social in the neighborhood, and her husband's. And then she came up to me and I said that she was going to apply for it. And I said, get your, you know, contact the township, you know, get your resume in.
We talked briefly about advertising in the Gazette or something rather than just.
Yeah, but this seems to work. And then the other thing is, too, is we have the first alternate and the second alternate are up every year. They're reappointed. So what I would do, you know, if you're talking to somebody like this, an encouragement, have them put in the thing. Like, you know, I'm interested in the board, you know, either here or even next year. Because we can always appoint alternates, you know, yearly. When you are appointed to the board, it's, you know, it's a longer term. I think it's 5 years. So.
Or come to a couple meetings.
Yeah, that's
would
that's,
be great.
Yeah, encourage them to come. So.
And watch how things go.
Yeah. Instead of being thrown into the fire.
So we don't want to do any advertising then. Real advertising.
No, I don't have a.
All right.
All right, so
are you
we'll
table that. Or?
Yeah, we'll table this. We're not making a decision on it tonight, and then we'll take. Sure. So after this, we'll.
We need to make a motion to table that.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to table the appointment of the zoning commission members.
Second.
Second. All right.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Yeah. Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye. All right, so on that housing rehabilitation schedule or discussion.
I read briefly through it. I didn't pick up on all the points because it is they're talking about doing a housing improvement on a complex that's located in the city of Medina. Talking to Nick about it earlier today, he caught on to the fact that because we're within a half mile of that project, they were reaching out to us for input if you had any objection to that. Is there additional information
that's it?
And in my opinion, no, I don't have any objection to it. It's happening in the city, hopefully helping people that can use the help. I would say that we respond in such a way as we do.
Yeah,
have an objection.
When I read it was in the city, I was actually kind of surprised to begin with. So, you know, just kind of like being neighbors. So.
I don't know, they have to send these with, when, and I'm not sure what the actual, if it's within a mile to a half mile, but we've gotten these before in the past, so, you know.
Do we need to make a motion to respond accordingly, or just speak? Okay.
I don't, it's been a while since we've had one. Elaine, do you know, like, do you remember?
It's been a long time.
Is that something you can do for us, or you want us to do?
It probably wouldn't hurt to make a motion to do.
I'd like to make a motion to allow Nick to respond to the request regarding the improvement, rehabilitation, housing rehabilitation that Medina Township does not have an objection to that project.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, so next on our thing here is payroll processing and consideration of a second paychecks administrator discussion.
Can I start with the second part first, the payroll administration? I've been at discussion great length with paychecks over the last month over numerous things, and sometimes I get to a point where I can't really get any more information. And Jamie Greathouse, our admin person for paychecks, simply said, since you're not an administrator, I can't discuss that further. So I said, so other places have multiple administrators. She goes, you can. So my thought was, and like most things I do in business, I always like to have a number two. Chief has a number two with his lieutenant. Denny and I are talking about a number two in his department for the purposes of, it's just a good plan. So I would like to volunteer, if you guys would have it, to be a second admin for the paycheck system, simply for the benefit of the ability to communicate with paychecks. Not taking over anything, not doing it, just simply having access to inquire questions and monitoring the process or monitoring the package that's available to us. And it's just a discussion. But
no, I think it's a good idea to have a second person. I think we should have had one, because there's questions that could be answered in a more expedient manner. And so I'm all for having a second person.
And in essence, you know, with Angela is our admin there, but she's got a lot on her plate. Yep. So there's times where simply we can avoid, we don't need to add to that on right. Some of the simpler things is what I'm thinking.
So, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I always feel as trustees of the thing here, if I wanted to call paychecks and ask them a question, they tell me they couldn't answer it because I wasn't an administrator to it. It would kind of irritate me a little bit, you know what I mean? But I'm always a firm believer, and if something happens to somebody else, having a number two, because you never, you know, right. I'm very prone, you know, you might be sitting in this spot next week or next meeting the way I'm going, so.
Stop it.
So, but yeah, so I, to protect everything, I have absolutely no problem with having a number two.
Well, we have to discuss this because, and I didn't know where, when I saw this in the agenda, where you were going with this, but there's a segregation of duties in the revised code for a reason. And, you know, the source book that you had ordered did this, it breaks it down a little bit simpler than trying to print out a whole revised code. But so my duties are payroll and all associated with that. And there's an attorney general opinion that trustees and fiscal officers cannot cross duties. So I don't think that's possible. That's what I don't think it's legal. And that's...
Well, my thing, is what I'm wondering what he's asking is not to go in there and change things or have that part there, but be able to, you know...
But as an administrator, there's no option. You are, like, you're able. You're not, you can't be an administrator and not
and
be
not
able
have
to
access for that.
Yeah, and so, and that's the whole issue. You can't, I mean, it's like... It's not where you can pick and choose, you know.
If it's pleasing to the board, I'll go ahead and pursue that discussion with the prosecutors and make sure that we have an opportunity to see if that line can do, because if other people are doing it, like you've said in the past, sometimes because other people do it, it's not right. But if other people do it and they've found a legal opinion that says it's right, then it, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else, doesn't really matter, as long as we have a number too.
I mean, I have the authority to hire somebody, you know, but again, it couldn't be a trustee, you know, because we couldn't have. My issue with payroll is I wouldn't want, because of the settings in there, and you know, there's for privacy reasons, for taxable reasons, I would not want somebody going in there and you know, I'd have no way to know if somebody's changing. Like, let's just say, I'm gonna take for an example, somebody has a setting of, you know, wanting two on their federal withholdings, right? I have that preset. I don't go check those each time. So I'd have no way of knowing if somebody went in there and changed that. And that could have a...
No, my understanding, Jamie said, anytime anything is done, any administrator on the board would be notified of who changed it and when it was changed.
That's not true.
So,
I don't know what she's telling me.
We don't have a second, so we wouldn't know, but that's what she told me.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's not true. And I don't, like, again, and that's a part of the problem with the fact of having multiple people talking to, I mean, if we are going to have a discussion, and I like transparency, so I have no problem getting on. Jamie reaches out to me when you email her, I tell them anything. I have no problem with that. However, I do think it should be more of an open dialogue so that we're all on the same page. I don't want to play this game of telephone.
No, if something happens to you, mm-hmm. will paycheck or will things get processed? I mean, what's our backup plan? I mean, I this is for everything, you know, in the township, you know, it's if mean, something that, happens to you, what a, happens to us with paychecks?
I mean, this is a problem with that a lot of townships have. There's not, mm-hmm. you know, this is, I mean, unfortunately,
I always feel you need to have a number, you need to always have a number two to be able to do something in case mm-hmm. of something happens to number one.
I'm happy to do more research and get some foundation behind the request, so... But I think it's something we have to pursue. I think there has to be a number two. If it's not me, it's somebody, but it's somebody that we choose. And I think that, you know, she's given me answers that are not necessarily the same as you and I've talked about. So I just want to make sure that what she's telling me we can do, we do do.
And what Jamie's telling you you can do? Well, again, you got to remember. I mean, I don't. Again, and that we can get into
later. That could be another
later,
discussion
but,
another place.
Right, but we've got it. You got to first cross the bridge of what the revised code says we can do, because that's what paychecks deals with corporate America all the time. But we're not corporate America.
These are simple things that I'm talking about.
Right,
they're things that we have legal opinions on. So it's not really that complicated for this for what I'm talking about.
Right.
Okay, we can take that off the table for now.
So when you're saying that, are you talking about the Ohio Revised Code?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you, there's I think the township follows
the Ohio Revised Code.
Yeah, we're governed by each of our duties. It's kind of like, I mean, on a smaller scale, it's, you know, it's kind of like the federal government, but, you know, we're scaled down. You know, there's three branches of government, you know, on the federal side, there's two here. The trustees, you have the fiscal office, you don't cross over on these branches, you know, in our duties. So
that as far as the second in command, we'll revisit that. We can go ahead and talk about the processing and kind of go through that if we can. At the last meeting, I didn't make a motion, I still may, that department heads are allowed to adjust the time 5 minutes either way of the start. In our policy, it talks about the department heads being able to make adjustments and corrections. Jamie says that they're supposed to be able to go 5 minutes either way of the start time, that she's working on it but doesn't have it done yet. 90% of the problems that we come into with payroll has to do with that 5 minute window. We've talked about that. So those are some of the things that are simple, and they just, you know, last meeting I gave our department heads permission to make adjustments. We since have got a legal opinion from the prosecutor stating that that's appropriate. I just want to make sure that it's on the record we're following up with the people who make law and decide law, not opinions. And I think in doing so, when the department heads make that adjustment, when they approve payroll, and their liaisons approve payroll, that we don't have to worry about any process. I think that it, at that point, it should move forward. It's not saying, it's not changing something where somebody's not there. It's always, you know, that would be fraud. That would
right.
be, you know, and that's not what we're ever talking about. So.
I think we are not getting clarification on what you're talking with the 5 minutes though, because what you're saying, 5 minutes on either side, and we'd have to go into the system, but the 5 minutes on either side is 5 minutes prior to the shift starting and 5 minutes after the shift ending, not 5 minutes after the shift starts or 5 minutes before the shift ends.
I saw that in one of the updated policy guides,
right?
But it's not what she told me.
Well, I don't. I see. Again, this is why this game of telephone gets bad, because that's. I mean, I don't know what she's telling you, and I know how Jamie. I know how her is she on the phone with you telling you this, or is her emails? Because I know how
I
know
I
how she
to
speaks
too,
through
so.
Emails, and it can be a little bit confusing at times.
Because
but I'm telling you what the policy that the township
has, which is a guideline, and a guideline is just that. It's not a mandate, but we are. When this takes, if we were to practice what you're saying, where it rounds 5 minutes before the shift or 5 minutes after the shift back to the start time, now you literally are stealing from an employee, literally. If you don't do both sides, because somebody comes in at 7:02, it clocks in at 7:02. They leave at 3:33. They've worked over 8 hours, but your punch will not tell you that. Your punch will say they're 2 minutes shorter. And then you might be inclined to ask them to take money from their personal accruals to fill in that time, which I say is immoral and illegal anyway. But that's what Paychex does. Am I wrong?
Well, okay, so to be clear, the whole reason for the 5 minutes, like, and I want to be very, very clear with this, like, when we did this, that this time punch policy, it was because the employees were asking, can we not stand at the clock to have to punch right at the time of shift starting and shift ending? They wanted a grace period to like be able to come in, get there early, punch in, and then go do their stuff and then start work. And they wanted to also be able to do that on the tail end, okay? So this was not about stealing time from anyone. This was about, and I mean, Chuck, I think you
were I was here for this. I mean, the beginning part, it's like, you know, do I need to stand there and wait for that thing to hit 7:00 or 9:00 and then they hurry up and punch in?
And so, Doug, I hear you, and I think I've had this discussion with Chief Minnick. Like, if somebody's legitimately working on overtime, we have to. We do, even if they're 3 minutes on overtime. This happened with one of the officers. We had to adjust and give him that 3 minutes of overtime. I 100% am in agreement on that. So I do not, like, your point is heard. But this was for the employees, like, for their benefit, because this is what they asked for. And actually, they had asked for 30 minutes to be able to come in 30 minutes early, be able to like go do a workout, and we had legal counsel tell us absolutely not, no more than 5 minutes. So that's what that was about. Okay, it wasn't about trying to steal time from people or not give them overtime if it was due them. Like that had nothing to do with that. Okay, so that's I want to be clear.
So can I read? Just the summary of a legal opinion we have on this?
Yep.
For the record, this is from the prosecutors. It has everything to do with what we're talking about regarding time punch. Therefore, it's my opinion that the supervisors of each department should report the hours worked by each employee of the fiscal officer to the fiscal officer. If the hours worked, as reported by each supervisor, differs from the time clock data, an adjustment must be made so each employee is paid for the hours they actually work. To not pay employees for the hours worked, even if they did not clock in, could subject the township to lawsuit if there is a violation of time tracking policy. That could be a disciplinary for the supervisors. Ultimately, trustees have to deal with that, but employees should be paid for the time they work. I think that's all we're really trying to accomplish here.
Correct. I agree.
Okay.
And that's what, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if the employee, the employees were asking, like, they're not actually, it wasn't that they were working in that 5 minute window. It wasn't that they were coming in and working. It was like, hey, we want to come in, be able to punch in, and then just like
start
take our time
normal.
To
right because
to like, you know, wash our hands or do this or do that. But it wasn't that they were working those minutes and not being paid for them. You, I mean, you could go back and listen to the meeting minutes to hear all this.
I do understand what she's coming from. It's just like when, you know, you go into a factory and you got 30 people in the time card thing, and you all punch in. As long as you punch in before your thing is, they just gave you your 8 hour day. And that's what we were kind of setting the precedent was, like, okay, you have this little bit of grace period to show that you're there, and then you're going to get your assigned pay of your 8 hours, or you know, in this case, you know, we're doing 80 hours in 2 weeks. That way they get their accruals, they get their benefits or anything, because it's all based on working 40 hours a week. And we, what that letter is talking about there is shortchanging them their mark that they need to get to be able to collect those things.
Some people wanted to go, you know, sit in the break room. Like I said, we had employees who wanted to come in and be able to punch in and then go work out, and they're not getting paid for that. You know what I mean? Like, but they just didn't want to have to stand at that time clock and punch in right when the shift started. So that's it. But I understand your concern. So, and that's why, so just for background, I had reached out before our last meeting. I reached out to Local Government Services. That's the division I was talking about, that, you know, the legal part of the auditor's office. The gentleman called me back right after our last meeting. He said that, like, under no circumstances can you adjust time cards. And he's like, the time card is an internal control. You're circumventing the internal control. Why would you ever want to do that? And I said, well, I mean, in certain cases, if somebody forgets to punch this, and he's like, no. Like, and I said, okay, can you put that in writing? And he said, well, your legal counsel has to request that of our department. So I had then reached out to, because I wasn't looking so much for legal opinion, I was looking for an audit opinion. I reached out to the Northeast Ohio liaison of the auditor's office, Jake Altman. He said the exact same thing as this Dave Thompson did. So he put me in touch. He's like, you know, he had suggested calling the fraud department. I'm like, I'm not looking for this. I'm just looking for something in writing, you know.
The people are there.
So, like.
The people are there.
Right. So I just, so then I talked to Bill Ward, which I believe the two of you had already talked to. I know Chief did that day. And he, at first, had said, you know, go by your policy. And, you know, and then when I said, okay, I'm just looking for something in writing, because I'm being told two different, like, I've got this from these two people, and then now you're saying this. And really, we just have to, like, have something in writing so that I know that, like, we're covering ourselves for a case of an audit, right? And he's like, so wait, Local Government Services said this? And I said, yeah. And he's like, okay, I don't want to get involved. I really, you guys gotta, you know. So I, when I sent that, the email to the prosecutor's office and asked for them to reach out to Local Government Services and get that, you know, they didn't. I mean, they just wrote a policy based on our time tracking policy. So in my opinion, I mean, that's great that they gave us a legal opinion, but it's just that, and it's like a quarter of an opinion, because they're not reaching out to the auditor's office. They're not finding out what audit would do, and quite frankly, like you said, it's a policy, but we're only enforcing part of our policy. So, you know, I mean, there's different things we could do. We could go back and not do that 5 minute window in the beginning, and we could say everybody has to punch in exactly when they get there and then start work immediately. They don't get to go sit in the break room, or they don't get to go to the bathroom. We're not paying people to do that stuff, right? And then they punch out right when they're done working. So if that means, you know, if their shift ends at 3, they punch out at 3.
Simply doesn't work, but go on to the next
thing. What I'm saying, like, you know, in theory.
You got to talk real, though.
Right. Like, they punch out when they're done working, let's say, right? So if that's at 3 or 3:02 or 3, you know, but they get paid for the exact minutes.
Or we end up going to a paper sheet like other townships do, and we get rid of the electric punch altogether.
And when we did that, the accruals were.
We got screwed up.
So messed up.
But I mean, that's done by townships all over, and this problem never arises.
But the problem that was in place, I would urge you then to go back and look at the accruals and how bad they were. Because people were getting paid out on accruals that they did not have.
I remember hearing the stories.
And.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, we're talking about options that are out there.
Right.
They're just options. Not good options, not bad options. But right now, we do have a legal opinion. We have one legal opinion that I know of on this issue.
Right, but then that legal opinion did not say that people can have 5 minutes on. It doesn't say to give
them. It says that the supervisors can adjust.
Yeah, all you're doing is saying is adjusting because.
Adjust if they're.
I'm seeing both sides because, you know, the way you're thinking, like, okay, if we take away that 5 minute thing, and if you're getting, if you punch in 3 minutes, you're getting paid for that extra 3 minutes ahead of time. Everybody's going to punch in 5 minutes early if that's what their thing is going to be. I know I'm going to be there 6 minutes early, make sure I punch in 5 minutes early because you're going to get overtime on that. I think the grace period was fine the way we had it, you know, for 5 minutes, just get in there. And that, because what we're trying to do is we're ensuring our employees that they're going to get their 40 hours a week, you know, and then that's where the department head comes in when it comes into working over that 40 hours is where that needs to be approved. And it's going to be defined. It's not going to be 3 minutes ahead of time getting overtime or 2 minutes afterward. But, you know, hey, a tree fell over here and, you know, we got to run a crew over there and we're going to be working 45 minutes late. That's an overtime thing. And, you know, that's marked out accordingly. I think we're overanalyzing a little bit of this, making it too difficult than it really needs to be.
Are we adhering to the 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, my understanding is Paycheck's not adhering to the 5 minutes on either side, first of all.
Well, that's where I think there's some confusion. They are adhering to the 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think everything would be fine as long as we give our admins right to tweak it when it's not fine.
Five minutes late.
No, not 5 minutes late. They're not allowed to clock in.
5 minutes or clock in 5 minutes early and clock out 5 minutes late.
Correct. Yes.
Well, it seems like I've heard that things aren't rounding and aren't coming and it's not working out.
When it's not rounding, it's because the schedule's not put in the system. Or people are clocking out early. I've had the case of people clocking out a minute before their scheduled time ends. So no, it's not going to round in that case.
This is the third time I brought this up. I talked to the auditor back in March, brought it up in an April meeting, brought it up again. We held off on it. Discussions, not from me, Doug brought it up. There are other alternatives. Doug brought up one. We can go back to paper. And here are some of the votes for the timesheets that people would want to use. Pass that down to Doug, please. For some of the departments. Here's for another department. Now that's if we go back to paper. If we go back to paper, it's going to make your job somewhat more difficult, I guess, in a sense, because then you have to enter stuff in.
I mean, Bruce, that's not at all my issue.
I'm saying if we went back to paper, would you then have to manually enter things into Paycheck or something?
A little bit more, but I mean, it's really about the same time consumption. It's what my issue is then the accruals are not tracked the same way. And I mean, Denny can attest to this. He has called me a couple times, maybe four now, since we switched over to this product. And he's tracking his still on paper, and he has thought the accruals are off. We have gone pay by pay, and Paychex has them right. Denny's paper timesheets have gotten off. So I am.
And the reason that is because the decimal point, correct?
No, you guys forgot.
Most of the time.
No.
Well, some of the time, I should say, is a decimal point too, is it?
No, you forgot because you forgot to enter a whole, like, it was off by like a four or something. It wasn't a decimal point.
Was it something you couldn't read or
no, what? It was just, they forgot to put like a whole accrual, like a whole, you know, like a 4.6 accrual in there. So, I mean, we're talking about like this. Human error. Listen, I know technology. Right, technology can have glitches, but human error has more glitches. And when you go back and look, I would urge both of you, because Chuck knows, Chuck already knows this, he doesn't need to be reminded, I'm sure. If the two of you look at how badly the accruals were off, how much they were off by, it's scary. So going backwards, it's foolish, because that's what will, I mean, who's going to track these? We know the timesheets don't do it correctly. Like Elaine's were off, I mean, how many times have we gone through this? Like when they were, every single spreadsheet that was used got these accruals off. So.
Well, again, back to the original part of the conversation. It was the start, the punch in, punch out. The opinion says the superintendent, supervisors can adjust that. There's also places where the employee can adjust their time. Nothing can be approved without a supervisor's approval. We just need to get away from, you know, you should never get an email from you asking them to take money out of personal accrual because of a punch in, punch out.
This is what happened, Doug. Denny told me Martin was not there. I asked, he called me that Saturday and said he didn't hit his 80 hours. And I said, was that because he didn't punch in on time, he forgot, or he wasn't there? And he said he wasn't there. We had a very different conversation than happened at this meeting. So that is why I said that. So you maybe got a different story.
Was he? No. Okay.
If somebody was not there, is appropriate to ask somebody to take out of their accrual. That's really the only option then. It's either stay over and make up the time or take out of your accrual. You can't.
And if he did stay over, it wouldn't record it anyway.
But we could have adjusted that. Sure, we could have. We could have made up for that, but it was already too late because the week was over.
We have, I'll go back to it again. We have wasted so much time discussing this. This is the, pass that out, those two down. This is what a motion that was made.
February.
In February
2nd.
February 4th. February 2nd.
Okay.
Of 2021.
Yes.
The basic has to do with paycheck. It has not worked. It has been abysmal failure. I'm at the police station, every day that I'm at the police station, paycheck is talked about by everybody in there. When I go out on ride-alongs, the officer are talking about the problems with the system. So something isn't right, and we're wasting a tremendous amount of time and energy because of this system. Other townships use other systems, and I ask Montville, for example, I said, how much time do you spend discussing payroll? And they laughed. They said, when we approve it, that's it. They don't have these meetings. They don't have all this stuff constantly. They're not wasting time on it. They're doing something productive. And I'm talking about the officers because I spend a bunch of time down there. When the officer, somebody's up, this is wrong, now they're doing, they're coming back in, they're changing something, they're fixing something. We have to look at things in a different light, because to continue to do the exact same thing and expect different results, Einstein said it was insanity. And I would have to agree with that.
All right, well, we're going
to... You can do it. You can do it.
What's that?
You can move this on.
I'm going to move this on.
So,
real quick, just to finalize this thing here. I think you guys are overanalyzing this thing. It's not a broken system. What we need to do is to be able to give our department heads the ability to tweak them, to get them correct, and you're freaking done with it. It's the same exact thing that you're handing me these things. All they are doing is tweaking these to make sure that the 80 hours or the 40 hours there, and making sure that we're accountable to our residents, that our employees worked the time that they had. And once you turn that in digitally or whatever like that, we're home free. So
to beat a dead horse, I think we have a system here. We just need to be able to have the people that we hired in those leadership positions be able to do their job correctly. And we wouldn't be wasting hours in these meetings paying our employees to sit here and listen to us talk about something stupid. So that's where I'm going to end this conversation for right now. But I think what we need to look at is being able to tweak the paychecks like we have been doing and not getting, you know, in trouble, you know, to our department heads. If somebody comes in a minute late and they're not there, they're late. If they're there and something's wrong with paychecks, there shouldn't have to be an inquiry on a minute or two. So that is that. We're going to move on to policy for employment, family, funeral discussion. So this has come up a couple times, and we just had lost one of our board members to zoning, and we were talking about, is this about doing flowers and stuff, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, okay, so the way I read it here, but, you know, I feel that we should, as a township, if we have an immediate person, you know, in our you know, zoning boards or our employees or whatever like that, not have to jump through hoops to be able to get them a card and some flowers or something like that, you know, and set up a special, you know, line item or what we need to do for that. But I think that's only fair and right as fellow employees. And, you know, I consider everybody, you know.
That's why I asked for it to be on the agenda. This has come up now a few times, right. And I've said it before, there just has to be a policy so we know what we're doing. And like, would we be talking about, I could say when I came into office, the prior secretary said that the board before took a lot of flack for that, and that's why they stopped doing this. So, you know, you just have to decide as a board what you want to do. If you want to set, you know, if you want to do this, if you're going to do employees only, members of, you know, families of employees, if you're going to set a dollar amount, you just have to decide what you're going to do, set a policy, and be done with it. I mean, let's go.
I agree with all that. I think, and it doesn't have to be tonight, but I think we're on the right move.
Right.
And I think part of that was just defining specifically what that is. If it's a spouse, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, we don't need to get...
We don't want to go too far
too
down
extended.
The line, right.
So
yeah.
You got to define that, and Angela's right. You want to talk about, you know, what the money parameters are. Just make it simple. Maybe make it a line item budget that we got X amount of dollars to draw from, and hopefully we're not in that situation where we lose too many people too fast.
No, like I said, we...
Unless I'm one of them.
I'm
not going to vote on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I get calls, though, and asking, is this okay? Can we do this? And I'm like, I can't authorize that. Like, it's not my place to authorize that. So, like, again,
but
I've
if it was a part of a policy or if it's something that we need to move and then,
right.
Know,
I'd say we'll table this for now, and then we'll work up a policy of where it's eligible and an amount. You know,
and develop that.
And,
so.
You know, because I don't buy flowers for... You know, funerals very often. So I used to think they were $45. And I think the flowers that we did this time were like $85.
So is that a motion to table?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Yep. Yeah.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
He made the motion.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right. I'd also like to make a motion to go into public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
All right. If I can. Sandra.
Am I first?
You are first.
Sandra Bellick, 3414 Hamlin Road. I just wanted to ask about the bike path discussion because I know at the last meeting you brought up some very concerning things that were in the contract. You didn't mention those this time.
Actually, I did by number. But I didn't read them out.
Okay.
The items
okay.
that we mentioned before were the numbers we discussed, and I got permission to submit that to the state as a note.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I just want to let the trustees know that anything I say here tonight, please don't take offense at it. It's just an attempt to maybe make you think about things a little differently, okay? I want to give you my definition of hypocrite, okay? please don't take offense. Expecting business owners in Medina Township to follow our zoning regulations on signage, and trustees thinking it doesn't apply to them. Historically, our trustees and service department have listened to the wise guidance of our zoning board. And this is about the digital sign that I think you want to put up at Fenn and Pearl. I still think it's a really bad idea, number one, because it's not following our own zoning resolution guidelines, and it is going to be a traffic hazard. I did talk to Greg DeVore with the transportation. He's a transportation engineer from District 3. I have his phone number and contact information for you that I'll give you after the meeting's over. This is what he said. He confirmed that a sign on a state highway would be under the state zoning regulations, not township, okay? The right-of-way could actually be more than 40 feet from the center, could be 80 feet from the center. He would like to have the exact location of the sign. He said they discourage these type of signs on a state highway for the exact same reason that Jim and I brought up, because it's a traffic hazard. Not only do you have a state highway, you have a traffic light there. He said those type of signs are better suited to a park location because of the hazard it causes for drivers. Again, we have a state highway with a traffic light. So I would encourage our trustees, before you spend any more time, those digital signs are very expensive. Before you spend any more time on that, I would encourage you to call him. As far as the paychecks discussion from last meeting, that was very problematic for me. I took the time to type up the whole thing. I know you felt it was overanalyzed, but I did want to analyze it because that was very concerning for me. After the discussion here tonight, I'm even more concerned, so I'll probably be typing up this whole discussion. I would like to make a records request right now for the legal opinion from our prosecutor's office, because it doesn't seem to me the paragraph that you read was what was discussed in the last meeting. I have concerns. I do have another definition. At this point, I'm really not sure what's going on. But my other definition is adjustment, and that's enabling Medina Township employees to not be responsible in punching in and out and getting to work on time. I'm not exactly sure really what's going on, to be quite honest with you. So I'm just going to leave those discussions for now, because I would like to analyze what was said here tonight. The JED discussion, I just want to briefly bring up again that I think that's a really bad idea. I think our trustees should have just said city thanks, but no thanks. It's going to be almost impossible to get a majority of businesses on Pearl Road to sign on to a petition. Once people find out about this, I think you're going to have a lot of angry business owners. It's just going to foster anger, frustration, anxiety, disharmony. I don't know. It's just beyond me. And I have concerns that now that you've opened the door for the discussion, carrots out there, it's probably going to be yanked away, and I really feel like they might be upset, and our fire contract service is probably going to go up. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Oh, I did want to mention one more thing. I was extremely disturbed by the discussion of our service department head calling an elected official at 9 o'clock at night and apparently cussing at her. I don't know the details. And then expecting to be paid for it. I know a motion was made. You did not have to vote yes. You could have made the motion. You did not have to vote yes. Thank God our other two trustees saw the ludicrousy of that scenario. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
We're up Fenn Road. This multi-purpose path, I think we should stay away from that, like it's poison. If the state wants to put it in, let the state maintain it. We should have no part of it. Period. Okay. This payroll thing has been going on for the last 4 or 5 years that I know. And I think it's stupid. Just plain stupid. If we had as many employees as General Motors or Ford Motor Company, I can understand the time clocks and the punching in and the punching out. It's up to the department heads to maintain their employees' hours, period. End of discussion. Turns the hours in at the end of the week or whenever, that payroll person makes out the checks, and that's the end of the story. Why you're going to a third party to make out the checks and mail them and all that is hogwash. It should be all handled in-house, period. And if that person can't handle it, you hire somebody else who can.
That's it?
That's it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? You have a bigger soapbox.
I used to have 50 employees underneath me.
Name and...
My name's Dan Copeland. I live on North Huntington. I worked for the city of Cleveland for 37 years. I had 50 employees working for under me. But we only had one time clock, right? Yeah. If we had a pay down, because it took them 4 or 5 minutes to punch out every day, we would have paid time and a half like crazy. And they understood that. And we let them punch in early, and we had like flex time. You know, the city all of a sudden, they decide they're going to dock you. If you're 1 minute late, you're going to get docked 10 minutes. It caused the most problems we ever had, and the stupidest thing I ever seen. Where the supervisors could have handled the whole damn thing in like 2 minutes. And I think that's what the gentleman's trying to say. I think that's what you need to do here. I do have some other things I brought up in previous times. I was wondering if anybody ever, if you guys ever discussed it or anything like that. Tornado sirens I brought up months back, and I was wondering if there was consideration for putting one up at the police station, maybe one down at the service garage for people in the area. If there was a tornado came through the area, we could be warned. I know one person made a comment, well, why didn't you, when the tornado came in the area, why didn't your cell phone, why haven't you taken a shower? I don't take my cell phone in, which I don't even own a cell phone. My wife let me know there was a tornado coming through, but she heard the siren in Medina, thank God. But we don't always hear that. But I'd like to see 3 tornado warning signs put up. Like one over the service area, one over at the police station. I don't know how much they cost if they're out of, you know, if they're real expensive. I agree, maybe we don't need them, but I'd say whatever we have to pay, it's worth a life if we can save somebody's life down the road. Because we're going to get more tornadoes in this area. There is climate change. A lot of people still have their head in the sand and say there's no such thing as climate change. But I look at the map every day. I look at the weather every day. We're definitely getting climate change. I've also asked that, I brought it up one time, I had said I'd like to see 1,000 trees planted in Medina Township. And every township in the area, we try to get them to commit planting 1,000 trees to try to get climate change under control, keep it cool in this area. I think that would keep the tornadoes down and for this area. How we do that, I don't know. Maybe we could assign a couple of the service guys. If people are willing to buy trees and put them in their front yard, we'd be willing to help the older people put them in their front yard and let the township pay for it, the service work. You know, I'm saying up to so many hours. You know, you ain't gonna pay a guy to put a tree in for 10 hours when it only takes like half hour. You know what I'm saying? But help the seniors out, put trees in, let the people buy the trees, and we'll help put them in, you know. We're getting federal money now, right? We've had a lot of money brought into this township to try to improve, and I'd like to see it used to help the area and like the seniors. I've made some suggestions to the counties. Of course, they don't get back to me neither, so I'm hoping you guys, I have had one gentleman give me a call, let me know what's going on a few things there. I'd like to also see electric hookups for vehicles, and the future vehicles we buy maybe be electric, or they're also a new thing coming out with pressurized tanks, air tanks, where you can fill them up off a bicycle pump. You fill up the tank and you go 600 miles. I wish I knew what country that was building them right now, but maybe we could look into that in the future and maybe buy those vehicles where we don't have to, and they're lighter. You can run over 600 miles on one of those trucks, and over 200 some miles on one of the cars. Maybe we need to look at that. If we have vehicles like that, we need to replace them like the police cars in the future. You know, we need to look down the road, you know, trying to improve things. We got the money now, let's start using it
to save ourselves money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we actually have gotten some, you know, publications on electric vehicles and everything. We actually just talked about it a couple meetings ago where I think it's Chevy is coming out with something, and they're just coming out with actually a police interceptor version of it. So it's there in the future, you know.
Well, it's starting to come now, and we need to jump on it. We can, you know, like, I would like to see electric station. If we bought a truck and it was electric, have a electric, they could fill it up right down with the service garage. And if the police cars, we put one up there at the police station.
Real quickly, just so that everyone is aware, we don't have one time slot for every employee to stand around and punch in on. Everybody is given access to either a computer, their phone, or a tablet individually to use. So it's not that you've got a line of people standing around to have to punch in on one.
But no, he was talking about like the grace period.
I think he was talking about if we went away, then everybody'd have to punch in at the same time.
I just want everyone to know that there's no, it's not like, you know, you have a line of people and they can't get punched in time. That's not at all what's happening. So
no, I know that.
Okay.
It's a small place, you know, it ain't like Cleveland.
Anybody else real quick?
I got one more. I'm sorry, ma'am. I was wondering if anything's going to be done about Mrs. Hall getting some recognition in this township.
About what?
Minnesota was a township trustees for years, and I asked that they make one of the baseball fields, put name it after her or something like that.
She does have a park, although we haven't had access to it.
And they'll name recognition.
But you just heard me say we have permission to utilize the driveway, so that the county can make that. And when we have access to that, that's going to be a perfect opportunity to revitalize Mrs. Holt's memory.
Where is it at exactly? I'd like to know. Is it on the other side?
You know, if you're going around Route 3, just past Denny's maintenance facility heading towards 71.
Okay.
The very first driveway you come to on your right-hand side, it's that whole property. It goes down into the valley towards the river.
Okay.
But the access will be that the first driveway.
Our ultimate goal is to actually have a functioning park for the township. Named, you know, in her honor over there.
Straight across from Hamlin Road there, Stan.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any idea when they're going to maybe try to improve that?
This has been a process getting this far. And so the next thing is Nate Epic with the Park District has to give us permission and or design a parking lot themselves. So, okay. I mean, we're kind of happy we got something. Mm-hmm.
That's the park that you have to have a permit to even be on it.
Currently.
Yes, private park.
And I'd still like to sign up at 3 and
okay.
Finn up here. Maybe they'd be also, you know, where the ballpark's at, where we put our signs up there now for motorcycles and stuff like that. Keep your eyes open for motorcycles and stuff like that. Put a sign up there. And I'd like to see if Medina would be willing to pay part of the sign, because maybe we could advertise for Medina to enter Medina Township in Medina. You know, maybe they'd be willing to pay half the expense, or maybe even more of it. And maybe we can use it for advertisement too.
Whatever happens or doesn't happen there will happen within the realm of the legal requirements. Okay,
just so you know. Any idea what that legal requirement would be?
Oh, it's all there, but we haven't got that far. We're just talking about it.
Okay. Did someone let me know?
You'll have time to see.
All right.
To keep things moving, I saw another hand.
Hi. Mary Ackerman, 5205 Baker Road. I was just wondering, the pay period ends right that day that it goes in. Could it be extended like a week? Like, I mean, I've worked a lot of places. Yeah. It's always a week.
Currently, the pay period ends on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then on the following day.
Saturday.
Well,
a midnight.
It starts on Sunday.
Don't you have a officer that doesn't clock out until Sunday?
Until Sunday morning.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But generally, Sunday's the beginning of a new pay period. Saturday's the end for the most part. So on the following day, on Monday morning, Monday is the day we're supposed to turn our approved time into the fiscal officer. And then they have from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to the meeting to approve it for the previous two weeks.
Oh, okay.
Now, what you're saying is being done in places as well. There is a grace period. so that it's not a crisis for these adjustments.
Okay.
We haven't quite figured out how to do that, but it's something that could is another discussion for another.
I have talked to the state auditor about that. That was a recommendation. The only thing is that can screw us up with OBRS. That's our pension system.
Yes.
And that can really mess things up with OBRS. And then also, you know, employees don't necessarily love waiting for that week of pay. So we're trying to avoid that. That was something.
Because it's usually just their first paycheck.
Yeah, there's only
one
period
one
of time. Then it's right back onto a regular schedule.
Unless you're switching in the middle of everything. And
but
there's one time where it gets
yeah,
scheduled.
Yeah,
it was that.
But really, it's that OBRS schedule. Because you have to, yeah, OBRS, you're not contributing when the money is paid. You're contributing when it's earned.
Because the State Highway Patrol, where I worked for 32 years,
did it that way. Yeah.
And they had
over. And I'm sure there is a way to do it. It can make contributions just a little more difficult. So I mean, there was just things to look into. But I mean, that may be the way. You know, that might be the way we have to do it. I don't know. So there's things to.
And also, since you're hiring a new girl full-time, maybe is there a way she could maybe assist doing something before it gets to
are you reading our minds?
I'm sorry.
I've been talking to Chrissy about helping in this department and plugging her into ledgers and just so yeah, she'll be an asset. She is an asset, but she's open-minded too.
Yeah, one of our
helping
goals with Chrissy is Swiss Army knife of the township. If we have somebody going down or needs help or something like that, we have her to help plug in as a you know, a thing. So that's right where we're at. All right, anybody else?
Jimmy Steele, Stan Copeland, North Huntington. Why doesn't the Gazette advertise about how ridiculous people are making phone calls for 911? I think. You know, these people, I thought 911 for emergencies. If I was stabbing my wife, or someone was being shot at, or something like that, that's what I thought 911 was for.
No,
but
I think
what are people calling in on these stupid calls? I mean, couldn't we put it in the paper, you know, you're running the police department ragged and stuff like that? I'd hate to see any of our officers get in an accident because of some stupid call. I'd hate to see one of our police officers, like I was talking to him while you were on your executive meeting, to the effect that if they could pull someone over because a headlight's out or something like that, why can't we just notify the people through the mail that your headlight's out rather than the officer stop somebody and taking them a chance of getting shot and killed because some knucklehead behind the wheel? You know, I hate to say that. I'm very concerned about the police officers today, you know, because there are a lot of nuts out there today. I hate to say it, and everybody carrying a gun, which is unnecessary. That's my feelings. That's why I hired Pam for police officers. So I hate to say it, but I'd ask raise a hand of how many people have guns in this office right now besides the police officer. And I wouldn't be surprised if three or four people raised their hand and had guns in here, right? Which makes me feel uncomfortable. So.
All right, thank you for that. It's a good point. Anybody else before I close public comment? I'd like to make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Any other business in front of the board?
Did you guys get the invite to the county engineer dinner?
I saw it in my email.
They said they were going to try to end it by 6:30, but the meeting, we have our meeting at 7. Did you want to try to just... I don't know if you're all going. But
I've been to it before. I mean, we can leave at any time, you know.
So did you want to just leave the meeting at 7 that night, or did you want to try? I know sometimes it runs late.
What time did it start?
It starts at 4:30.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have an issue with it.
I got a flyer at home. Which one should I get? Like
this
three
is
of
this
them.
Is at the county engineer's office.
Okay,
they
okay,
do a
okay.
meeting, and then they have a dinner. There's like some. I think they're doing it a little different. It seems like there's going to be maybe like booths or something. But anyways,
yeah, they had an expo last year. They had four or five vendors and a cookout, and then a meeting and introduction of staff and stuff like that, and question time
and answer
over.
Session.
Yep.
And then they said adjournments at 6:30, but it had been delayed, so I didn't know if you would want to keep
I personally been to it. I don't feel like we need to alter our schedule for that one.
But
thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you.
All right. If no further business, I'd like to make a motion to close the meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Time is now 6:18. I call the meeting.
Way too much stuff to haul in and out here.
Can I get a copy of a couple of these things?
Sure.
See how efficient I am?
Well, you gotta love the sticky notes. Those are, thank you, ma'am. My ultimate tool.
She doesn't want it.